Fantastic. That's really good. That was presented and hosted by Jay John, and also had lots of different bands playing and lots of different elements to it. We'd hoped to go along ourselves, but we were busy with something at Spurgeon's College. But it's really good to have these big events taking place, especially when they are taking place in the Holy Cathedral of the Emirates Stadium. There's something really quite wonderful, and there's something quite special about being able to go to these events, going to a Christian festival or perhaps a conference, as we get to gather in such big numbers, in thousands of people praising the name of Jesus together, having wonderful teaching and also being led in worship by very talented bands. Sometimes, though, after we have been to these kind of events, there can be a bit of a lull. There can be a bit of a low. I know that when I've taken young people to Soul Survivor before, they have such an intense week in the big top, and they have a wonderful time of connecting with God in ways in which they never have done before. They have a new boldness in not only praying for themselves, but also praying for others. They have wonderful conversations with those who are leading them. And they've got a real fire in them, a real sense of God, a real sense of things are now going to be different in their lives as they go back home to everyday life. But so often, when we leave these events, we struggle to keep up this momentum. We can go from that high to a very low. It's almost as if we become spiritually kind of bipolar in a sense of these ups and downs. So is the solution to try and go to more of these festivals, to go to more of these conferences, that in our everyday lives, we just accept the way it is and have and hope for better in the future? Or should we be seeking more of God in our everyday lives? Because we might be thinking, maybe God does something very special, does something very unique when we meet together in these really big gatherings. Maybe God is more present in a big top, or is more present in the Emirates Stadium or Wembley or wherever it might be. Maybe he's more present there than in our everyday lives. I would disagree with that kind of thought. And although there is much mystery in how God works in each of our lives, I'd say that one of the main reasons why God seems to show up, if I can say that, at some of these conferences more than in our everyday life is because our expectations are so much higher at these places. We hear of other people being transformed at these conferences. When we go along to them, we feel something special going on. We expect God to intervene in our lives. We expect God to do something great and transformative into our lives. Maybe when we go back home, our expectation dwindles. And so over the next few minutes, I want us to be thinking about how we can raise our expectations in the everyday. Because I believe that if we raise our expectations, if we think more of God in the very simple things that we do each day, then he will minister to us in a strong and powerful way, which will help us in our relationship with him. And to do that this morning, we are going to be looking at the book of Exodus, and in particular, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10, and you can find it on page 59 if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, or I think it will probably be on the screen. And Margaret is kindly going to come and read for us now. Thank you.
As Alex has already said, the reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And it's Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, a priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the book, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. May God use us as he used Moses. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. If you know much about Moses' life, you'll know that it was very eventful. In the first 40 years of his life, he went through many troubles, and he will continue to do them through the rest of his life as well. He was born at a time where the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. And as Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, wished to keep the Jewish people at bay and to stop their uprising, he ordered that the firstborn sons would be killed. Moses' mother was fearful for his future and what would happen to him, and so put him in the river in a basket and wished that he would be rescued by someone who would be able to take care of him. Through God's providence and care, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she would look after him and bring him up and give him a wonderful start to his life as he lived in the palace. He had great riches. He would have had a wonderful education, and everything was set up well for a good life in the palace. One day, he comes across a Jewish person who is being beaten by his Egyptian master. And this enrages Moses, and Moses desires to sort him out, and perhaps goes a little bit further than he thinks that he will, and ends up murdering this Egyptian. He realizes what he has done. Unfortunately, other people see what he has done as well, and so he has to escape the fury of Pharaoh, who wishes to punish him for what Moses has done. Moses comes across as a guy who wants a bit of a quiet life, and so didn't exactly have that in his first 40 years, but he certainly sought that out in the next 40. He escaped to a place called Meridian, where he married, and he married into the family business of land ownership and of shepherding sheep. Moses had so much trauma in his first 40 years, wanting to avoid it. You do kind of wonder why he then chose to work for his father-in-law. You kind of think that that would be just adding more trauma to his life. But one day on his daily route, as he goes towards a place called Horeb, which was like a deserted land, Moses, with his sheep, sees a burning bush. Now, really, in a sense, it isn't really a burning bush because it isn't disappearing before his very eyes. It isn't burning up into ash, but it is staying as a flaming bush. So often, fire can grab our attention. I hope there's no pyromaniacs here. But when we do see a candle, when we do see a lovely burning fire, it does grab our attention. And in this way, God grabbed the attention of Moses. Now, the biggest surprise for Moses, I don't think, was seeing this bush set alight. He may have been surrounded by many bushes, and sometimes through being in such a hot environment, maybe through storms, he maybe had been used to see fire before. And maybe he wasn't really paying too much attention to the fact that it was burning up. After all, a bush will burn up quite slowly. I think what he would have been more surprised by was the fact that this burning bush was talking to him. That's a bit peculiar and unusual. But God reveals something new of himself to Moses. We see in verse 6, if you are following along with us. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God had already been gracious in revealing certain things about himself to Abraham. As that passed on to Isaac, God revealed more new things about himself, and then again to Jacob. And this was a wonderful instance of God choosing to intervene in a Jewish person's life to reveal more of himself, not only for the good of the individual, but for the Jewish people as a whole. Now, there is so much documented about the life of Moses. You can easily make a very long sermon series about all the wonderful experiences and adventures that Moses went on. And really, if we use the term mountaintop experiences, if you know what I'm talking about, he kind of epitomized what a mountaintop experience was as he was on top of Mount Sinai. He would go on to have many adventures that were very spectacular and ones which we wouldn't expect to see in our own lives. But Moses' journey with God and his calling from God begins with something very simple and something very straightforward. Moses' adventure with God and the revelation of God that he gave him began with him simply tending to his sheep and taking them for a walk. So often we have our own routines in our lives that we can take everything for granted. As we get older, the days just kind of fly by, and so many things that we are doing, we don't even really pay attention to. Just, I have to admit, last night we were coming back very, very late from a friend's house, and I got halfway through the journey, and I realized I haven't paid any attention. And, you know, I'd been indicating, and I'd been going at different speeds, and I'd been, you know, having my full beam on, taking it off, putting it on, taking it off. We're in the pitch black. I really should have been paying attention. And yet I really wasn't. I was completely zoned out, probably thinking about this morning. But it's true, isn't it, that the days do just fly by. And so often, our expectation of something special happening in one of them can be quite low. But God does promise to speak to us in the everyday. In Psalm 19, King David says this, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all of the world." God speaks through the everyday. In fact, God even spoke to Jesus whilst he was here on earth about the everyday. Jesus used what was around him to display a greater truth. Jesus walked past birds and flowers, and it reminded him of how God provides for us. Jesus walked past vine trees. And it reminded him of what it meant to belong. Jesus went past a fig tree. And I don't think any of us are quite sure what that was all about. But it said something to him. All of it spoke about God to Jesus. God speaks to us through these very natural, everyday things. And we can call that general revelation. God has revealed so much of himself. There are so many fingerprints of God on everything around us that we can see that God is alive and he is active, he is involved, and he is caring in our lives. At the same time of this general revelation of creation, he gives us a special revelation now and again as well, just like he did with Moses and the burning bush. I'm sure amongst us, we have many stories of where we felt like we heard the voice of God in some way or another in our lives. And so often, it's through such ordinary things. When I felt called by God to start following him, I was just simply in my bedroom one Saturday afternoon, bored out of my mind. I hadn't gone anywhere. Nothing special was happening, and yet God intervened in my everyday life. I have a friend called John, and one day he was taking a shower, just like I hope he does every day. He's a clean man, I know he does. And whilst he was showering, he heard the voice of God calling him to give up his job and to start training for ministry at Spurgeon's College. I have a friend called Hazel, and one night she was just brushing her teeth, as she always did, and while she was brushing her teeth, she heard the voice of God calling her to start up a prayer movement, which will be happening in September, a prayer movement that has been translated, the advertising for it has been translated into so many different languages, one which is really capturing so many hearts and we believe is going to make such a difference in the world. Festivals and conferences and just coming along on a Sunday morning are incredible gifts of God, which God uses us to take us from one step of faith to another. And yet at the same time, we must appreciate that God is not specially present in these places, even the Emirates Stadium, but rather he is present in us. As we flick through the Old Testament, we see God turning up and showing up in different circumstances and instances for a specific purpose. At certain points of the Old Testament, we see God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming and dwelling and filling and equipping certain saints so that they might be equipped to serve him and further God's purposes. But it's not until the New Testament where we see God himself come and dwell with us and be with us, when God became Emmanuel, God with us. It's not until we come to the point of Pentecost where we see the Holy Spirit come down on the people of God and be with them forevermore. Up until that point, you have God being present in certain places and at certain times in the Old Testament. Then you have God being present through Jesus at certain places at certain times. But then you have the wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit who has come down and has promised to never leave us, but to go with us and to be with us when we're doing the spectacular, but also in the everyday. Perhaps the fire that was burning the bush that Moses saw, perhaps that fire was the same kind of fire that was present in Pentecost that transformed the lives of those early believers. Maybe that fire that was present in that burning bush is available to us today, so that we might be stirred up and encouraged in our faith to share it with one another. So often when we look for a spiritual encounter, when we seek the presence of God or perhaps the voice of God, sometimes we can get stuck in thinking, I just need an encouragement. I just need a bit of a lift. I just need something to help me get rid of this doubt or this sorrow that I'm going through. But we see through the scriptures that God does not normally come to us in the everyday just to pep us up a bit, but rather to give us a message, and that is a message to act. If you flick over the page, if you're following along. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God knew about the plight of his people as they were in Egyptian captivity. From this verse, we can see that the Lord was interested in him. It was interested in his people, but he was also present with his people. In every day, when we're brushing our teeth, when we're showering, when we're driving home from somewhere, we won't always be aware of the presence of God. We'll be distracted by other things. But we have a wonderful promise that God, whether we know it or not, whether we appreciate it or not, and sometimes, let's be honest, whether we want it or not, God's promise and presence is always with us. He is here with us. He knows each of us individually, and he is concerned for our lives and the lives of others. We follow on to verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and the home of the Canaanites. Oh man, I wish I hadn't read this far along. Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivitites, and Jebusites. There we go. Thank you. We see that God is not only concerned, but that God gets involved. One commentator says, it's like God is rolling up his sleeves in this verse. He's rolling up his sleeves because he knows he's going to get mucky. He knows it's going to be difficult. He knows it's not going to be plain sailing. But he's rolling up his sleeves because he cares for his people. Not only does he roll up his sleeves, but he calls Moses to roll up his sleeves as well and to get involved. I guess in some ways, God could just click his fingers and everything in the world would be right. And sometimes we're crying out for him to do that. But we know throughout the scriptures, we know throughout human history, we know throughout the history of our own lives that God teaches us through the difficulties of life. And he partners with us as well. He rolls his sleeves up. He asks us to roll our sleeves up and to get mucky, to get busy in doing his work and putting the wrong things in the world right. So Moses has this wonderful spiritual experience, which he wasn't expecting, which he wasn't looking for, which he wasn't asking for, and yet God gave him that experience, and also he gave him that direction and calling. Let's finish with our last verse. It makes sense, doesn't it? Just with the first three words of it. So what does God say to Moses? He says, so now, go. So now, go. It reminds me of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. God speaks to us in many different ways. God is sensitive to each of our needs, and therefore the ways in which God speaks to us is there's consistency in it. Some of us might hear an audible voice of God because he knows that's the way that we best receive his word. For others of us, we might really be inspired, like truly, really be inspired when we read God's word, because he's communicating to us in a way which is helpful to us. And there are many different ways beside. But in whatever way God speaks to you, however miraculous it sounds or how ordinary it sounds, he is calling you to act. Maybe you had a wonderful experience at a conference or at a festival, and it changed your life. Many of us will have taken steps on in our faith or felt a particular call because of going to one of these events, or perhaps just a Sunday morning that we go along to. God maybe speaks through those instances. But let's not wait until that next time that we go away or until next Sunday morning before we try and hear God's direction for us again. Maybe whilst we're next brushing our teeth, maybe next whilst we're taking a shower, we are open to what God might be saying to us and what he might be calling us to do. God chose to speak through the burning bush. The purpose was to call Moses to deliver his oppressed people. As God speaks to you in however way he, in whatever way he wishes, what act might he be asking you to do to deliver oppressed people from their captivity? Whether that be that, whether that captivity is to sin, whether that captivity is to some kind of war or some kind of guilt. May we hear God's words. May we hear his voice. And may we have the boldness and the confidence in his big, strong hands to go and act, partner him, roll up our sleeves, and be part of building his kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good to us. You do not stand back and just watch as people struggle and as people suffer, but that you have rolled up your sleeves. You have rolled up your sleeves through many ways in the world, but most of all, through sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live a perfect life, to show us how to live, but also to show us how to suffer, as well as to act. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, in some way, rolls up his sleeves as he acts in each of our lives and in the wider world to bring your kingdom to pass. Please, would you bless us when we go away to these special events? But Lord, as we spend the vast majority of our lives in the everyday, in the mundane, in the ordinary, please would you bring something extraordinary into our lives. Please would we have a fresh revelation of who you are and what you are calling us to do. Please give us the boldness and the confidence and the courage to roll up our sleeves as we partner with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare the table for communion, we will sing In Christ Alone. Thank you.